Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn on this Sunday, October 4th, 2015, as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. I certainly apologize for the technical issue we had. The opening is not supposed to run that long. We had some technical issues with that we were dealing with that we have now gotten corrected, so I certainly apologize for that. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can hit me up on Facebook. You can follow me at Twitter on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to Instagram at Riddle Gerald Quinn Riddle Gerald Quinn. A busy program, heavy on the football, of course. And right now, as many of you all know, we have a game going on as we speak. The Miami Dolphins and the New York Football Jets, who are in London for the NFL's annual game in London. Of course, the NFL will have two games this season in London. Every team, of course, they're on the rotation, has to do it. There have been some talks about having a team in London, though I don't see that coming anytime soon, considering travel and things of that nature. But, you know, the games always sell out when they go there, 80,000 people, and the games always sell out, so it's definitely popular in London as the NFL hosts its annual games in London with Miami and the Jets, two teams seemingly going in opposite directions. This could be the last game of the Joe Philbin era. If the Dolphins were to lose, they'd fall to 1-3, and they're coming in. They will have a bye week next week, so they get embarrassed today. This could be it for Joe Philbin. But we're going to begin with the college football, a statement Saturday in college football. There were two major statements made yesterday, two in the possible. But the number one statement made to me was by the Alabama Crimson Tide, who came into that game with as many question marks by the national media that Alabama team has come in with in the Nick Saban era. No question about it. Mind you, they came in as an underdog, which was a story in itself. First time in 72 games, going back to the 2009 SEC Championship when they were underdog against Florida, Tim Tebow's Florida Gators. 72 games, which, of course, is an NCAA record. They go into Georgia, a 2.5-point underdog, and they absolutely take in between the hedges, they take Georgia behind the woodshed. That was a vintage Alabama performance. That was a team that has been in a million and one of these big SEC type games. Georgia, a typical Georgia big game performance where you look at Georgia, you say, oh, look at all these pros they have on this team. They have an all world running back. They have fast defense. But again, this is what Georgia does in big games when the money's on the table. It did not surprise me that they were going, you know, that Alabama won this game. It definitely surprised me how easy it was. But, you know, you have step-up programs. You have programs that step up in big games. You have programs who haven't won a big game. If they couldn't win a big game, their life depended on it. Georgia is certainly in the latter in terms of that department. Every year I hear about how great Georgia is with the talent, the NFL picks, NFL pro first-round picks, and they're on the level of, you know, Florida. I mean, they're on the level of Alabama. They're on the level of LSU. They're on the level of this or that. No, they're not. Now, listen, Mark Richt is an excellent coach. He's built a legit top 10 program. But, you know, in these type games, if Georgia's playing LSU, Georgia's playing Alabama, go with Alabama or LSU. Those programs are step-up programs. They win these big games when the money's on the table. And again, that was a thrashing. It was a thrashing by the Alabama Crimson Tide, which vaults them right back not only into the SEC picture, but into the national playoff championship type picture. The other statement was by Alabama's longtime rival, a team that used to help. Along with them, used to run the SEC, the Florida Gators. The Gator statement was more surprising because we've seen Alabama do this in big games before on the road when the chips are down a bit, so to speak, for them. Florida shocked me to take out Mr. Ole Miss, who I was high on coming off the win they had against Alabama, as easily as they were able to do it. Florida is back. That was a big-time performance. We know Florida's defense has been great for the last 3 or 4 years, even when they haven't been as good. The questions have been about can they put points on the board. Well, they seem to have a quarterback that is serviceable, a good, you know, good running game. Their defense is all-world good. Florida, that was a program-turning win, changing win for the Florida Gators. Now, again, I don't know. Listen, I'm not going to sit up here and say as Brandon Marshall catches a big pass down the sidelines, I'm not going to say Florida is going to win the SEC and win the national championship. I'm not going to let's slow down here. But Florida is going to be in the mix for the SEC championship game. There's no question about it. That was a big-time performance for Florida. That was a big game for Florida to win. So you had the old hat in the SEC making two major statements, one of them saying that, you know, we haven't gone anywhere, and the other in Florida saying that, hey, we are back and ready to take our place at near or atop the SEC, football conference. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. The Jets are on the move after a big play from Fitzpatrick to Brandon Marshall. So Jets could score here early on. first quarter, Jets Dolphins, about 11 minutes left in the first quarter of the London game, of the game over in London. We'll keep you posted on that if something happens, as it looked like Ivory did he score, or it was a fumble. Yes, he did score. So Chris Ivory, looks like it was a fumble slash score, but as long as he breaks the plane, the fumble doesn't count. Oh, is that Ivory? As you see Geno Smith on the sideline, I think that was Chris Ivory that scored the game's first points. Anyway, 347, yes, and it should be a touchdown. 347-215-6180. We'll have Sunday headlines coming up and some more college football as well. That and much, much more in this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn. We'll be right back. So call them on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn. As always, you can find us at itunes.apple.com. Look up 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn to rate or review the program. We prefer 5 stars, but we'll take 3. We'll take 3. You're not taking less than 3. So give me your comments, questions, anything that is on your mind in regards to the program. Certainly appreciate it. Another program note is we have a program coming up on Tuesday with Robert Sapp and Chad Quinn, our biweekly NFL special, fantasy football special. We'll look back at week 4, first month of the NFL season. Also talk some fantasy football as well. So that's coming up on Tuesday. So time yet to be determined. As soon as we establish a time, we will get that to you ASAP. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Couple things in the college football. No team. The one thing when I look at the college football, the one thing that came out yesterday is no team is going undefeated. No team's, at least. You might be able to get in the playoffs. You're going to be able to get in the playoffs with 1 loss. In certain teams, you might be able to get in the playoffs with 2 losses. I think we are headed towards one of those seasons. Look at Ohio State, Michigan State, both struggling within the conference. You look at Michigan playing well, another shutout win for them. Look how well Northwestern is playing. It seems like the Big Ten from top to bottom is improved, but very much improved. So I think Ohio State and Michigan State are going unscathed in that conference, to be honest with you, even before they play each other. UCLA falls to Arizona State. Arizona State is still a very good team, despite what happened to them opening Saturday against Texas A&M. Yeah, Florida State surviving, even though I don't think they were that impressive. And, of course, last night you had Clemson just getting by Notre Dame in a game that, if you're a Notre Dame fan, you have to be kicking. You have to absolutely be just kicking yourself, going crazy, because that was certainly a winnable game for Notre Dame, despite being down 21-3, 24-9. Notre Dame just, kept putting the ball on the field. I mean, 4 turnovers in the second half, the opening kickoff in the second half just turned like Notre Dame could have easily won that game. Easily. Clemson has a top defense, as we know. I'm not crazy about the Clemson offense. I'm not, to be honest with you. I'm not crazy about the Clemson offense. I thought Clemson got ultra conservative in the second half, in the fourth quarter, trying to sit on the lead. I don't think, I mean, you want to say the weather was a possible factor. Okay, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. A lot of rain, but I thought Clemson got very tight and conservative over the course of the game. Notre Dame still is in the mix to make a playoff spot, as we have a fumble here on the kickoff by Miami. Notre Dame still is in the mix because they still, you know, they have USC. I believe they still play Stanford. I believe they still play Stanford as well. So they have opportunities to get themselves back in the playoff mix. These teams are going to be knocking themselves off week in and week out, left and right. So Notre Dame's still in the playoff mix. But you come out yesterday thinking, you know, with the college football season, that there is no team that stands out to me. Everybody, you know, I heard somebody say today that Baylor's the best team. And like, Baylor, you know, who has Baylor played? You know, beating Texas Tech, I'm not impressed, but you destroyed Texas Tech. So I don't think there's one team to me that has stood out early on in this college football season. I think that's how the season's going to go. I mean, Ohio State still has some issues to me with the offense and with the quarterback. Their best bet is just handing the ball off to Ezekiel Elliott and going, you know, and moving forward from there. Even LSU has looked as impressive as they've been. And Leonard Fournette, again, the guy is a man amongst boys. Let's be honest with you. He can play in the NFL right now. Their quarterback situation is shaky. So, again, this just goes back to these unstable quarterback situations in college football, to me, that's kind of even things out. You know, the Mississippi quarterback looks great against Alabama, looks like he forgot how to play against Florida. These quarterbacks in these situations are just all over the place. I know Everett Golston for Florida State hasn't thrown an interception. He also hasn't set the world on fire either. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen in this college football season? Again, we'll be looking forward, to the LSU Alabama game. Again, Clemson, Florida State. There's still some big time games to look forward to over the course of the season. One coach that may not make it through the season is Charlie Strong from Texas. Texas loses 50-7 against TCU, 30-0. In the first quarter, 30-0 in the first quarter. Though, you know, listen, the boosters, Texas has as many resources, probably more resources than any school in the country. Okay. They don't like, patience is not one of their virtues. I mean, Charlie Strong could be gone. Forget about after the season. He could be gone in before Halloween. I'm telling you right now, like it just seems like Charlie Strong is just, you know, in over his head, so to speak. I'm sorry, but you know, it doesn't take that long when you have the kind of resources that a Texas, that a Michigan has. It does not take that long to show some progress. Look at Michigan and Harbaugh. Now again, Charlie Strong is no Jim Harbaugh. Let's be clear about that. But Texas has probably more talent than Michigan. Okay, they have more talent than Michigan returning. Michigan right now, you know, is 4-1 and will be ranked probably in the top 15. And Harbaugh doesn't even have his players yet. Again, Charlie Strong, it just doesn't seem like it's not going to work out there. You have to come. Listen, if you're hiring a college coach in today's college football game, they have to be offensive minded. I mean, you have to have a guy, quarterback, offensive minded, because that's where the game is at. 3 yards, defense, and a cloud of dust. Maybe 15, 20 years ago. Now it's all about the quarterback. It's all about the offense, especially in college football. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll get into Sunday's headlines, and we'll also preview Philly, Washington. That's coming up on this edition of 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. Sunday's headlines, Andrew Luck is out today versus Jacksonville Jaguars. Luck, of course, nursing that shoulder injury all week long. There's been a question mark on whether or not he would play. I thought he probably would play based on indications from yesterday, from last night and from yesterday. They went through a throwing session. Maybe apparently that throwing session probably didn't go well, and the Colts are taking every precaution to sit him out, and decided to sit him out today against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you know, Jacksonville is not known for his pass rush, so you know that the injury has to be legit for him to miss a game against a team that is not known for its defense or its pass rush. So, you know, you'll see Matt Hasselbeck, the longtime Seattle Seahawk who had a very good career, will get the start, and we'll see what happens with that. Indianapolis, again, is at 1-2, getting their first win last week. Max Scherzer throws his second no-hitter of the season, 17 strikeouts, no walks. The only run that got to base reached on an error. At one point, I think he struck out his last 10 batters. One of the dominant no hitters of all time. And again, I know if you're a Nats fan, you know the natural instinct, the natural reaction is to say too little, too late. You can't do that. Scherzer, you know, 14-12, 2.79 ERA. I think you've gotten your money's worth out of Scherzer today, this year, as far as I'm concerned. I know he hasn't been great in the second half with 3.72 ERA in 4-5, but how many more wins should he have based on the lack of run support, especially in the first 3 months of the season? I mean, Scherzer's pitched well enough to be a 20-game winner easily. So I don't think you look back at the Scherzer signing and say, hey, too much money. No, Scherzer, to me, did his job as a number one starter this year, despite the win-loss record. Wins and losses in baseball is almost, I'm not going to say meaningless, but a lot of elements go into it. You know, you're looking at ERA, batting average, stuff, things of that nature, walks compared to innings pitch, hits compared to innings pitch, and things. You're looking at things like that. And from that standpoint, Scherzer had a great year. Again, we mentioned Andrew Luck out. Texas embarrassed. Charlie Strong could be out of there sooner than you think. 347-215-6180 is your call number. As the New York Jets are driving again against the Miami Dolphins, already up 7-0. Brandon Marshall, 58-yard pass play to set him up. Chris Ivory, a short touchdown run for the game's first score. Again, Miami looks like a team that's dead in the water, and it's a team that in another week, in a couple of days, could have a new head coach. I mean, that's all there is to it right now. Jets, of course, playing. Darrelle Revis is playing. After some question marks about whether or not he would play, and the Jets coming off a loss, you know the Jets are primed and poised to get back on the winning track and to start the season at 3-1. Of course, the Redskins will host the Philadelphia Eagles. Weather should not be a factor. Probably going to be close to 60 degrees. It might rain a little bit. I don't think it's going to rain today, actually. I think it's going to be just cloudy. And this thing is going to just be an overcast day. Right now, it's 57 degrees, so I don't think the weather, there'll be a chance, it might drizzle a little bit, rain a little bit, but I don't think the weather will be a major factor come game time. Of course, you know, we were focusing on the Hurricane Joaquin, and you knew what it was going to be. You knew it was going to be overblown, and we were just going to get a little rain and come over in some windy conditions, and that was going to be that. Like that, you know, talks of schools being closed on Monday, games being canceled and missed, and it was not to be. So I don't anticipate the weather being a factor, a major factor in the Redskins-Eagle game. Redskins, both teams come in at 1-2. Redskins trying to even their divisional record. The Redskins have, I think the Redskins match up well against Philadelphia, considering that Philadelphia wants to run the ball, and the Redskins are great against the run. If the Redskins, you say, you know what, Sam Bradford, you beat us. You know, I stacked the line of scrimmage. DeMarco Murray will play. Ryan Matthews, of course, had a big game last week. I don't even think Chip Kelly completely even trusts Sam Bradford. Philly ran the ball like 40 times last week against the Jets. In a win up in New York, on the road. So I would dare, absolutely dare Sam Bradford to beat me if I'm the Washington Redskins. Again, the Redskins come in to this game with the second-ranked defense in the league, number 3 against the run. On the flip side, if you're the Redskins, it has to be a game where you – try to control it with your running game. The Eagles are a small defense. Again, they like to run like that. The Eagles are going to run the fast-paced offense. You want to try to wear their defense down. Redskins, I mean, this is going to be a contrast in style. I mean, the Redskins are amongst the best in terms of time of possession. The Eagles, of course, don't have the ball long because of their style of play and their defense. Their defense plays a lot of plays. So the Redskins want, if you're the Washington Redskins, that suggests go up 10-0. If you're the Washington Redskins, you want to use the Eagles' style, their style of play against them, and hopefully come fourth quarter, you're pounding them with Alfred Morris and Matt Jones to try to pull away. Again, certainly a winnable game for the Redskins, though the Eagles have had their number in the last couple of years. A lot of these games in the last 2 or 3 years have been very close contested games, no matter where the game has been at. I mean, the Redskins, you know, easily could have won in Philly last year. Kirk Cousins had like 400 yards passing. They made a bunch of mistakes that cost them that game. So the Redskins, this game, I expect this game to be a close down to the wire game. And we'll see what happens with it. Again, you know, you don't want to start 0-2 in a division. You know, you give them somewhat a pass on the Giant game inside the division on the road. Giants were 0-2 and desperate, but you want to take care of your business. You want to take care of business at home, within your division, especially a division that right now is. Let's be honest, there's nobody with Dallas. You know, who knows what's going to happen with them? Giants still not completely sold on them. I mean, you know. 2-2 with one division win, you're in decent shape moving forward if you're the Washington Redskins. So, big game for them at home. We'll see what happens. No D'Angelo Hall, of course. No D'Angelo Hall for the second straight week with the toe injury. That's, of course, a big loss. The Redskins are not very deep in that secondary. Just at that cornerback position. We'll see if he was trying to exploit that. 347-215-6180 is your call number. NFL picks are still on the way. We're getting to some baseball as well. That's coming up and much, much more in this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. Dolphins just look lost right now. I mean, they look like a team that even, you know, this is week four of the NFL season. They just look checked out. They look completely just checked out. Like, they don't know which end is up. I mean, this game, you know, I feel like this game is over already, to be honest. I mean, if the Jets don't make any awful, just drastic mistakes with turnovers, they should win this game going away. I mean, the Dolphins cannot get out of it. They could barely snap the ball. I mean, it just look awful in this game. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 20th-year anniversary of the acquittal of one O.J. Simpson. I just can't believe that it's been 20 years since this went down with just one of the most highly publicized crimes, celebrity, you know, crimes of the, you know, crime of the century, and just celebrity cases of all time. And really, you know, you look at this case, it really set off, you know, the TMZs, these gossip columns, the court TV, all that was set off by this case from that went, you know, 1994 into 1995. It culminated in 1995, whether it was the Ford Bronco chase during the NBA Finals, or the decision that took place on October 13th, 1995. You know, I look back on it and, you know, start, you know, reading a couple of things about it. O.J. Simpson's team, his team of lawyers, and you look at it, you know, rest in peace to Johnny Cochran, Robert Shapiro, F. Lee Bailey, Alan Dershowitz, Robert Kardashian. Rest in peace to him, too, as well, because he passed away a few years back. I mean, any one of those attorneys could be a number one. If you were comparing it to, like, a pitching staff, you'd say there'd basically be five number ones. It'd be like having Bumgarner, Kershaw, Greinke, Arrieta, and Garrett Cole on one staff. Like, it just, like, you know, it was like they called, like, you know, it was, you know, it was absolute the dream team. And like, it was still, amazingly, it was still a struggle for him to win the case. I mean, he had to get, you know, he was so guilty that he had to get absolutely the best lawyers basically in America by in this case to win this case. So I look at that, and that stands out. And also the idea that the really split between race relations in this country, you know, with that case. I remember it vividly being in high school. And, you know, let's be honest, if you were black, you were for O.J. If you were white, you were against O.J. I mean, that's just as hard as through it. It was throughout, you know, on jobs, throughout schools, in the streets, newspapers. Yeah, that's just what it was. I didn't see too many blacks coming out saying, "Hey, I think he did it," or they would say, "Hey, he might have did it, but I hope he gets off." Like, it was kind of like one of those things. Didn't see too many blacks saying, "Hey, I think O.J. is guilty." Looking back on it 20 years later and looking at his actions after this transpired, yeah, probably did it. He probably did it. But it's just one of those cases that changed. Again, it changed our coverage of you know, court TV, and changed it. And it really set off, the internet. The internet era. And again, I can't imagine what it would be like if a case took place like that in today's with today's technology, social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all that, you know, YouTube, and all, you know, and those that and all those electronic and social media venues that we have now. Just, I can't even fathom what this case would look like. I mean, every day you would come home from school or work, and it was on court TV every single day. We watched the case unfold day by day, you know, minute by minute, day by day, month by month, over the course, again, from 1994 into October 1995. So that, again, one of the cases, just one of those cases that you'll never forget as long as you live. O.J. Simpson, to no one's surprise, is in jail because, again, he just could not get out of his own way, just doing one dumb thing after another, even after being acquitted of the crime. Got locked up for trying to retrieve memorabilia, steal his own memorabilia from a Las Vegas hotel, something like that. Just some dumb stuff. That again, he's just a guy who clearly has some issues, or has issues, and just could not get out of his own way. 2016, they're talking about coming out with a movie about the whole case and where Cuba Gooding Jr., who actually favors O.J. I thought about it. I think Cuba Gooding, I'm not a Cuba Gooding Jr. fan. I think Cuba Gooding Jr. might play a pretty good O.J., to be honest with you. And I'm not a fan of Cuba Gooding Jr. by any stretch of imagination. So we'll see. So again, 20 years later, the O.J. Simpson trial still fresh in the memory and the minds of a lot of countless and millions of Americans throughout the country. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Coming up, NFL picks in this week four. We'll be right back.
Cincinnati, where the Red Hot Bengals come in at 3-0, hosting the Kansas City Chiefs at 1-2. Tough schedule for the Kansas City Chiefs offense. At Green Bay, home to Denver, at Houston, and now at Cincinnati. The line is 3.5, and I think, you know, even though I'm not a fan of the Cincinnati Bengals, and certainly not a fan of Marvin Lewis, I like how the Bengals are playing right now, and I like the matchup between their receivers and the Kansas City secondary. Kansas City secondary, in regards to their quarterbacks, are awful. A.J. Green, Marvin Jones, Tyler Eifert should have a field day against that secondary. The weather should not be a factor. The wind is not going to be windy. You know, wind gusts about 8 miles an hour. It's not a big factor So Cincinnati should have plenty. Andy Dalton, Red Rock, should have plenty of success throwing the football on that secondary. Give me Cincinnati and the points. That's game. That's pick number one. Pick game number two. We'll head to Glendale, Arizona, home of the undefeated Arizona Cardinals, who through 3 weeks of the season have been as dominant as any team in football. Now, the slate of opponents have not been the greatest, let's be honest. Chicago, San Francisco. So, are they for real? I think they are for real. They're laying 7 against the St. Louis Rams. I'll take the Rams and the points. I like Arizona to win, but 7 points for a divisional battle for a St. Louis team, against a St. Louis team that has a habit of playing well within the division, I think it's too many, to be honest with you. I know Arizona's putting up 42 points a game, but they're, again, I mentioned their first three opponents of the season. Like, there wasn't a who's who of opponents. I still think St. Louis defense is pretty good. Todd Gurley will be his second game back, so he'll hope to get his sea legs under him. I think this is going to be a field goal game, to be honest with you. Again, these divisional games with Seattle, put San Francisco aside for a second. But these games with Seattle, the Rams, Arizona, these are brutal, physical, knockdown, drag-out games. These teams are capable of going on the road and taking each other out. Look at Arizona did to Seattle last year. So I will take the Rams with the points. I will take Arizona to win the game, but the Rams with the points. Game number three, Detroit. Traveling out to Seattle to play the, of course, the Seahawks. Detroit is at 0-3. The line is 10.5, and I just could not help myself with 10.5 points. I know Detroit has been bad this year, but they haven't been awful. And again, I'm not sold on this Seattle offense. I'm just not. 10.5 points is a lot of points for a team that does not have a great offense. I think Detroit has some fight left in it. I think Detroit has some weapons that can hurt Seattle. I'm not saying Detroit is going to go out there and shock the world and win the game. I'm telling you that 10 points, almost 11 points, is too many points. I think I will take Detroit with the points, Seattle to win the game, and would not be completely shocked if Detroit won the game. It will be a desperate Detroit team, 0-3. A Monday night game, extra day to prepare for them, to get a rest. I like Detroit with the points, Seattle to win the game. So, Cincinnati outright with the points as a favorite, and I'm taking two underdogs, St. Louis and Detroit with the points. Those are your three picks on the week 4 of NFL action. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Quinn. 10-0. The Jets are up on Miami in the first quarter of that game, or at the end of the first quarter. The end of the first quarter, about to be started second quarter. Not a big week
of NFL football as far as these matchups goes. It's only, matter of fact, it's only one game this week where you'll have two teams with winning records, and that'll be the Broncos and Vikings as the Jets get a sack of one Ryan Tannehill. So one of those get me over weeks in the NFL. We'll see how many players the Bears will have to suit up. As the latest is Matt Forte could be on the market. They're trading everybody else. Why not? Everybody else is on the market for the Bears. We'll see if the Raiders, who I think are an improved football team, they're on the road against the Bears. That'll be a nice win, a nice start to the season for the Raiders if they can start off 3-1. We already talked about the Eagles, Redskins, Buffalo, Giants should be interesting. Kind of like the Giants in that game. I still don't completely trust Buffalo. Vikings, Broncos should be a very should be a defensive battle against two good defensive teams. The Sunday night game is awful. Cowboys and Saints, who knows what they're like. Drew Brees might play, not sure about that. Even if he was playing, the game still wouldn't have too much interest in my liking. Again, not that it is not. The Slayer games is not that good this week, to be honest with you. I look at a couple teams, Indianapolis, could be looking at 1-3. Big story in the NFL today is there's no Andrew Luck. He's out. So a couple other key injuries. LeSean McCoy is out for Buffalo. Sammy Watkins is out for Buffalo. Luke Kuechly is out for Carolina, still with that concussion. If I'm a Carolina fan, I'll be very much concerned about that, as this would be, I think, his third straight game that he would have missed. DeMarco Murray will play. Arian Foster makes his season debut for Houston, so he'll play. Sad news for all the Alfred Blue fans, if you were playing fantasy. Devontae Adams and Morgan Burnett for the Packers, I doubt that either one of those guys will play, especially Adams with the ankle injury. Probably won't need either one of them against a awful San Francisco 49ers team, as the Green Bay Packers go out to San Francisco in which once was a good rivalry between the Packers and Niners. Now it will look like a Green Bay walkover. So again, not a lot of good action in terms of the matchups today. In a week four, and sometimes in the NFL you get those weeks. I mean, that's just, you'd rather have those weeks now, November, December. So, get these suspect weeks out the way now so that you can, get into December, November, and December with the big-time matchups. Still 10-0 Dolphins down to the Jets. You had, of course, the Thursday night game. That was, of course, a season-saving win for the Baltimore Ravens. Pittsburgh, if they don't make the playoffs, are going to be kicking themselves for losing that game. They should not have lost that game, up 20-7 against a Baltimore team that really has one offensive weapon in Justin Forsett, and that's it. Steve Smith Sr. got hurt. They don't have anything outside of him in terms of receivers. A couple of questionable calls out of Mike Tomlin. Biggest problem I had, attempting a 49-yard field goal with Josh Scobie in that stadium was just not the move. I said it at the time. It's just you can't kick that field goal. You can't attempt that field goal with a guy who is at the end of his career, basically, in that stadium. That is one of the toughest stadiums in all of the NFL to kick in, especially field goals close to 50 yards. So that, you had a couple questionable calls by Tomlin in the overtime. Also, not allowing Michael Vick to throw the ball down the field. I thought Michael Vick threw the ball well, to be honest with you. To me, as a guy who was a former number one pick, a guy who's a longtime veteran, you have to give him more leeway if you're Mike Tomlin than what you gave him. Now, maybe it was a situation where, short week, Not a lot of time to input stuff. Didn't want to give, you know, didn't want to get put too much on the plate. Maybe that was the case, but still, you know, 4.8 yards completion is not going to get it done. I don't care who you have in your backfield. I mean, again, he threw the ball well. Antonio Brown dropped a touchdown pass. Dropped a touchdown pass on a perfectly thrown ball by Vic. So I expect Pittsburgh to open up the offense more as the weeks go on. And again, Pittsburgh's schedule is not going to get any easier. That was a big loss for Pittsburgh, considering that they're not going to have Ben Roethlisberger for the better part of, you know, anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks. You would lean probably towards 6 weeks. With the baseball, listen, there are too many scenarios to go through in the American League. You know this, that if Kansas City wins, they have home field. If Kansas City and Toronto both finish with 94 wins, then Toronto will have home field based on a tiebreaker. The Yankees win today, they will have home field in the wild card game. Other than that, there are about 8 different scenarios that can happen between Texas, Houston, and the Angels. The Angels kept themselves alive with a wild comeback on Friday. So they're still alive in the mix. As far as the National League goes, it's pretty much set. The National League is set. You're going to have Dodgers, Mets. Expect to see Jake DeGrom and probably, I want to say, based on Greinke pitch yesterday, I think probably Kershaw. I would say Kershaw probably will go game one. Pittsburgh, Chicago, you're going to have Arrieta and Garrett Cole, which should be a tremendous matchup. For my money, Jake Arrieta is the National League Cy Young winner. I know Kershaw, Greinke has a lower ERA. Arrieta this year was 22-6 with a 1.77 ERA. His ERA in the second half of the season was 0.75. Which is a major league record. That is almost unfathomable to think that a guy could pitch it up to an ERA of 0.75 over the course of like 70 games, over the course of the last 60 or 70 games of a second half of a season. I mean, that is unreal. Of course, had a no-hitter. So in my mind, I would vote Arrieta as the National League as a National League Cy Young Award winner. Bryce Harper probably is going to get MVP. I don't know who the American League Cy Young winner is, to be honest with you. I just don't know who it's going to be this year. It could be definitely up in the air. American League MVP probably would be Donaldson from Toronto, even though Trout has had another big year. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Gwynn. Enjoy your weekend. I will see you in a couple of days. So long.